Good morning. Please take a seat. Before I begin, I'd like to thank you all for your prayers, for your cards, and for the gifts that I received for my priesting ordination and my birthday. So thank you all very much for that. Our title this week is True Love, and our passage is a very familiar one from 1 Corinthians 13. It's used at very many weddings. In fact, I will be using it next Saturday at the first wedding that I preside over. And if you'd please turn with me to our passage in your Bibles. So you'll find it on pages 1154. So it's 1 Corinthians 13. And let's look at what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Let's try and forget the flowery wedding sermons that we've all heard. This is not about two people getting married. It's about God's love for us. And Paul wants us to understand who God is. Verses 1 to 3 say, "If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing." You could give this section the subheading of, "What am I if I have no love?" If you have everything and do not have love, I have nothing. But what is this love that Paul is talking about? He mentions spiritual gifts in tongues and prophecy. He mentions faith so great it can move a mountain. He mentions what can only be described as a generous heart. And he mentions giving himself up for hardship for others. But look at the end of verse 3. And he says, "that I may boast." Who is Paul saying he's doing this for? And obviously, it's for oneself. Now, I don't know about you, but that person was me in certain aspects. And we read on, "but I do not have love, I gain nothing." Paul is talking about a love for God, because only through God's Son, Jesus Christ, can we gain everything. Before I had a relationship with Jesus, I had a great deal. But I now realise I had nothing. I thought I had the way to heaven. Recently, Phil and I was at an EMA conference down in the Barbican in London. And a guy stood up and he actually nailed what I was and what many people in this country today think of how they'll get into heaven. What he said was that people think that to get into heaven is a tick box operation. You turn up at the pearly gates with your good deeds folder and you stand in front of St. Peter or God or whoever may be on duty that day, whatever the rota says, and you get your folder out and you say, "I was a good person. I was always gave money to charity. I always helped people around me. I loved my family and my wife. And I never hurt anyone that didn't deserve it. And after all, Lord, you can forgive just a little bit of a wander here and there." And what do you think God will say to that? God will say, "Did you know my son? Did you know Jesus? Did you follow Jesus?" Being nice does not get us into heaven. Following Jesus does, and doing what Jesus taught us does. We are to love our God with all our heart and to love our neighbour as ourselves. And then in verses 4 to 7, Paul goes on to describe what the Father's love looks like. You could give this section a subheading of what or who is love. And Paul says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonour, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now I ask you to bear with me here and read this again. But this is the good news, the gospel that Jesus came to give us. So let us read it again, but this time change the word love for God. And it will read like this: God is patient, God is kind, God does not envy, God does not boast, God is not proud, God does not dishonour others, God is not self-seeking, God is not easily angered, God keeps no record of wrongs, God does not delight in evil but rejects them with the truth, God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God loves us, every one of us, and all he wants is for us to love him. So much so that he came in a form of Jesus to show us how to do it. How to love the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can't love someone if you are not in a relationship with them. And God is relational. He is three in one and wants a relationship with each one of us. He wants us to talk to him constantly. And God gives us examples of his love all the time. I'm sure we have all experienced the love of a parent, or some of us have experienced the love of spouses and of children. Last Sunday at my ordination for the priesting, I was asked to take part in the communion service and serve the wine that represents the blood of Jesus. Well, all was going to plan. I was doing my bit, offering the cup, etc. Up until the point where my wife stood in front of me. Now, I have served my wife with the wine on many occasions, but it was something different. There was something different about the whole service, about her, about me. And I found my eyes leaking, and I found it a big lump in my throat, and I had to wait a good few moments to get a grip of myself and man up. And when I managed to do all this and I offered her the chalice and said those words to her, good, okay, we're back in charge, we're back in control. And the next person came up was my daughter, and we had a repeat performance of leaking eyes and throat, lumps in throat. And the next person up was my son. So we had all three. But what I experienced at that point was something of the love God has for us. I've never experienced a love for my family so intense in such a short period of time. And that, I thought, this is what God, how God loves us. God loves us even more than that. And God is not asking us to be perfect. He would really love it if we was perfect, but he's not. He knows we're incapable of that, because only Jesus is perfect. But God still chooses you and me. God still loves you and me. And what about us? Do we show that love to God, to our neighbours, to the world around us. In the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus tells us what we should be like. We should love everyone, just as God loves everyone, despite knowing that everyone will not accept his love, and not everyone will follow Jesus. And it's not our job to judge. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." We are to love God and to love each other. None of this is hard. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And now Paul goes on to explain what will happen when the Lord Jesus comes back. And you could give this section the heading, "Everything passes except love." Paul says, "Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will ease and they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childhood, put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection, as in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." God never fails. God is always faithful. Paul is saying that when Jesus comes, and there will be no need for prophecies or tongues or knowledge. When we are all with God, we will be fully and complete, and we will understand everything. We are like very young children. We think we know a lot, and compared to our ancestors, we do. But in God, we are incomplete, and in God, we will be complete. It will be that complete eureka moment, that moment when we say, "I get it. I finally understand." And we'll probably say, "It's all so obvious. And why didn't I see that before?" And then Paul ends our reading in verse 13. And he says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope and love. But the greatest of these is love." We should have faith. And through Jesus, we have been given hope. But on top of everything, trumping all things, is God's love for us, as shown to us in Jesus and in the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, if we accept God's love. So, in closing, God loves you. What is your response? To have a relationship with him, or to keep him at arm's length and hope that your good deeds folder will get you a place in heaven? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for that true love that you have for us. Thank you that you loved us so much that you want a relationship with us. Thank you for sending Jesus to us. Lord, send your Holy Spirit upon us today and always, so that we will always be in relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.